From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Hillary Clinton has said she might take her fight for the Democratic presidential nomination all the way to the convention. That would mean taking the fight all the way to August. Tomorrow, a Democratic Party committee will try to decide the heated issue of what to do with the delegates from Michigan and Florida, and the final primaries are this coming Tuesday. The top two Democrats in Congress are prodding superdelegates to declare their support for either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama by the middle of next week. But if after all that the nomination is not resolved, it could carry on into the summer. As NPR's David Wellner reports, past primaries fought right up to the convention have spelled doom for the candidate in November.
The year was 1972. Inflation was rising, the war in Vietnam was dragging on, and Republican President Richard Nixon was seeking re-election, and ads like this one were playing on televisions across America.
If you invest the money we're now blowing up over there in Vietnam on building the things that we need here at home, it'll actually create more jobs.
McGovern, Democrat, for the people.
Senator George McGovern was the anti-war Democrat's choice to challenge Nixon, and McGovern won his party's primaries. But the Democratic establishment was with former Vice President Hubert Humphrey, who refused to bow out of the race until the convention. McGovern now blames that, at least in part, for his landslide loss to Nixon.
We were so badly scarred up by that battle the last 30 days for the nomination, and then it was carried right onto the convention floor, so that what the nation saw was a party in disarray.
4 years later, Republicans were in disarray. The Watergate scandal forced Nixon to resign, and Gerald Ford took over. But Ronald Reagan challenged Ford's bid for four more years in the White House, all the way to the party's convention in Kansas City. Even as he conceded, Reagan spoke there of future generations as if he were the GOP nominee.
Whether they have the freedoms that we have known up until now will depend on what we do here. Mr. President...
According to Stuart Spencer, who over his career advised both Ford and Reagan, Republicans were just not convinced Ford was their man.
Ford had the machinery. He had the incumbency. He had the power of the incumbency. And that is worth a lot of votes in a primary operation. And Reagan had sort of the hearts and souls of the Republican Party.
Ford lost to Democrat Jimmy Carter, but when Carter sought his party's nomination 4 years later for a second term, Senator Ted Kennedy fought him all the way to the 1980 convention in New York, where Carter made this appeal.
I reach out to you tonight, and I reach out to all those who supported you in your valiant and passionate campaign. Ted, your party needs, and I need you.
But only when Kennedy failed to change the convention rules in his favor did he finally concede, sort of.
For me, a few hours ago, this campaign came to an end. For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
Then, before the convention and the world, Kennedy snubbed Carter, as CBS's Walter Cronkite described the bitter scene.
Senator Kennedy leaves the stand, being quite sober, unsmiling. There will be no pictures in tomorrow morning's paper, none for posterity, of Ted Kennedy holding Jimmy Carter's hand aloft.
Carter lost his re-election bid to Ronald Reagan. 4 years later, Walter Mondale, who'd served as Carter's vice president, tried keeping Reagan from a second term.
I know the American people, and I am ready. I am ready to be president of the United States.
Mondale.
Meanwhile, Democrats had created superdelegates, party insiders and elected officials who could vote for the candidate they thought most electable. Another candidate, Democratic Senator Gary Hart, insisted he was the most electable, which is why Hart now says he kept running right up to the 1984 convention.
Because I had won 11 of the last 12 primaries, including a sweep of California, and Vice President Mondale did not have a majority, the process... continued on, and it was a struggle for whether I could convince any superdelegates to change.
He could not, though. Mondale went on to win the nomination and then lose to Reagan. Colby College elections expert Sandy Mazel says Hart pinned too many hopes on superdelegates.
And think in 1984 most of the superdelegates said they would be much more comfortable with Walter Mondale in the White House than they would have been with Gary Hart in the White House.
Since 1984, there have been no more battles fought all the way to party conventions, at least not up to now. When asked Sunday on CBS's Face the Nation whether Hillary Clinton was willing to take her fight to the Democrats' Denver convention in late August, Clinton advisor Howard Wolfson did not rule it out.
The goal and the hope and the expectation is that we will have a nominee well before them. We still believe that that nominee can and should be Senator Clinton.
And just as underdog Gary Hart attempted 24 years ago, the Clinton campaign still hopes to persuade superdelegates she'd be the stronger nominee. David Wellner, NPR News, Washington.